up here, Brian, if you can just make another sweep before we finish up. But when I call your name, if you could please make your way to the podium there. Jim Maloney.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I like chickens. They're very tasty. I don't like them as neighbors. They smell. They make noise. And they're not toilet trained, as we all know. I don't say everyone's going to have chickens. They're supposed to, they all do. And we're going to have all kinds of chickens. And if you allow chickens, how about if I decide I like Canadian geese? Tell me they're not messy. When you get one person in the United States to tell you they're not messy, they're a nuisance. So I think the council should ban the use, allowance of having chickens in our neighborhoods. We get new lots there in my neighborhood, about one-third acre. Not enough room for chickens to be around. Got children playing there, and chickens make a mess. Just not conducive to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. Frank Radka.
Good evening. I started on this mission after I read an article in the Dunwoody Neighbor dealing with the health plan through our council members. And I was concerned because all the council members felt this needed to be done because nobody was running against them. And my first thought was, well, you know, if you all want somebody to run against you, mess up the garbage collection or below the budget. And I then subsequently called Dick Williams at the Crier, who said that he was late to that meeting, because I asked why that wasn't in the Crier, and wasn't he that concerned. And he said, well, he said, to be honest with you, he said, I was running late to the meeting. When I got there, I asked if the budget had been passed or something, and he said, he asked someone whether anything had happened, and they said no. So he missed the whole episode of the health insurance. So subsequently, I started calling each of your council members, and it got furiouser and furiouser as I talked to everyone. Seriously, we're happy with you all. That's why people aren't running against you. And I commend you all on the job that you're doing. And, I didn't understand the reason. Now, talking to you, I got all kinds of reasons why it passed. In one situation, it was Jill Chambers' fault because she cut the salaries when it went to the legislature to be approved to become the city of Dunwoody. And also there were expenses and that you all worked hard. And I then answered with, well, if you can't afford it because of the expenses and you're working too hard, then don't run. Or if you need health insurance and you can't afford your health insurance, then don't pay the registration fee to run and don't spend the expenses on running and you'll be able to afford health insurance. You got into a whole discussion of one council member said, well, it was the mayor's budget and I didn't want to use up any goodwill by going against this. I don't want to use it for better battles. And I understand the politics of it. Someone else said, well, I didn't need it. And most of you all were quoted as not needing it in the newspaper, but in Dick's subsequent follow-up. But someone said, well, you didn't need it, but someone on the council does. And my answer to that was, well, if you're a club, if you're going to take care of one needy person on the council, I'm not looking for a country club here. I'm looking for citizen council people, not professional council people. I don't want to see an Atlanta City Council where everybody's worrying about feathering their own nest, increasing their expenses and salaries. The one reason that came up, which made some sense at first, was that that you'll be able to get a better rate going through the GMA. That actually you get a better rate if you go through that and at other governmental groups around the state all do it and do it through them. And then I wondered, well, why do they require it? And then that was the reason for the GMA argument, that GMA requires that if you go through them, you have to offer it to all the council members. And I said, well, you know, even my kids are all grown up, but I remember saying, well, everybody else is doing it. And I said, well, we don't have to do it because everybody else is doing it. And I think that that should apply in this case. On the other hand, if the rate's going to be so cheap, then it might make sense. Then the bottom line, when I asked, well, someone said in 2011, it's going to go through GMA. Then my question, and I got varying answers. Some people didn't know.
Sir, thank you, Mr. Rankus.
Was there a time limit?
It was a 3-minute time limit.
Well, I didn't know that. Can I finish that sentence?
Sure, we'll give you another minute if you can wrap it up. Yes.
I got two versions. One was that you weren't going to go through GMA until 2011. My question was then, why is it in the 2010 budget? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Mr. Radka. Andy Schneider?
My name is Andy Schneider. I live in Johns Creek, long-time resident of Benwoody, born and raised here. I attend all the local schools. Very simply, I have chickens whether y'all vote them and approve them or not. So I'm here basically just to separate fact from fiction when it comes to keeping backyard poultry. Yes, chickens can smell just like dogs, cats, rabbits, hamsters, gerbils, goldfish, and even people if not properly taken care of. We're not talking about 500-foot-long commercial chicken house with 80,000 chickens. We're talking about 8 laying hens in a backyard setting. There are many ways, of course, to reduce the smell of your chicken coop, so it will never, ever create a problem. I live on 1/3 of an acre, matter of fact, and I have 37 chickens. I've had 25 Atlanta Master Gardeners in my backyard and say, this is beautiful. I smell nothing. I see nothing that's unattractive. 25 Atlanta Master Gardeners in my backyard. 1/3 acre, 37 chickens. If you don't think that you have mice and rats outside your home right now, then you're living in a fantasy world. Many claim that keeping chickens in will attract mice and rats. I have a poultry scientist, PhD, that says that's blatantly false. You think they don't exist until the chickens arrive. One client of mine who is entertaining the idea of getting some backyard chickens lives in the most affluent city of Georgia. She told me her cat leaves her little presents at the back door almost every day. These presents just happen to be mice and rats. She has no chickens. She also says she's seen mice and rats run across her backyard and up the honeysuckle vine to get over the fence and into her neighbor's backyard. Yes, if you have chickens, there'll be another food source in your backyard, but there are ways to keep chicken feed put away in mice and rat-proof containers. Avian flu, I've heard a few people talk about that. About 3 years ago, many were asking questions about the risks of avian influenza in keeping backyard chickens, and I refer you to the Center of Disease Control, CDC's website, where it addresses the issue. On the CDC's question and answer page, it says the following. Question, we have a small flock of backyard chickens. Is it safe to keep them? CDC's answer, yes. In the United States, there's no need at present to remove a flock of chickens because of concerns regarding avian influenza. Property values, this is often mentioned as well when we talk about chickens. Many people who oppose backyard chickens often sound off during meetings about decreased property values, and all I have to say is show me proof. No one has ever shown up at any backyard chicken meeting I've ever attended or have ever been contacted from any of my followers across the country where they showed up with valid proof. Written proof that someone who say got $10,000 less for their house because the city or a neighbor kept backyard chickens. To put backyard chickens into perspective, I often tell people the following. On any given day, I have more dog poop in my front yard from other neighbors' dogs than they have chicken poop in their front yard from my chickens. I have more cat prints on my car from other neighbors' cats than they have ever had chicken prints on their car from my chickens. And I'm awake at 2 a.m. more from other neighbors' dogs barking than they have ever been awakened at 2 a.m. from my sleeping hens. Not to mention my hens have no chance of mauling a 3-year-old child to death if they happen to get loose. Just because I don't like snakes doesn't mean someone else shouldn't have the right to keep snakes in their yard or in their house. So I just wanted to give my 2 cents worth. And basically, my goal is just to separate fact from fiction and rumors and hearsay. So if anybody ever has any questions, I'm definitely available. You can find me. Just Google Chicken Whisperer, and you'll find me and my contact information. So thank you very much for your time.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Schneider. Maybe reading this incorrectly. Fran Pennington?
Yeah. Hello. I am totally opposed to what this gentleman just said. My neighbor next door has chickens, and right along the fence, according to the ordinances that I've read, they're supposed to be 50 feet away from a residence right now before you pass them, and they're not. They're like 10 feet away from us. And I just think that it's unnecessary. We live in a community that's got lovely homes, and I just don't see the need for it, and I think we'd be foolish to pass an ordinance that allows it. Because the next thing you know, somebody will be standing here asking you, could I have a pig in my backyard? And maybe two pigs in the south. You know, it's just, I'm just totally opposed to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Cadger?
Yes. My name is Michael Cadger. I'm a retired partner of PricewaterhouseCoopers and its healthcare benefits practice. I've been in healthcare finance for over 30 years and currently the CEO of the Georgia Healthcare Leadership Council. The issues come up regarding whether council members should be should have access to healthcare insurance. I would want to speak in favor of that for several reasons. One is we all know that healthcare is very expensive. We also know that it really is a required benefit. You know, within our own nation's policy, the trend here is to get more people on insurance, not fewer. I don't think we want to have our city council members needlessly worrying about how they're going to pay medical bills. Many of them are employed, and so they're doing this as a public service. But if they are employed at a small employer, it may be very expensive. It could be less expensive to access that insurance through the city. So I would speak in favor of allowing the council members to have access to and to be able to have the city to pay for their health care insurance in a manner just like any other employer would do, you know, typically paying for 80% of premiums, probably offering what's called a high deductible plan where there's a $1,000 deductible. Those plans are about 14 to 20% less costly than full, very rich plans. It encourages the purchasers to be prudent with what they buy and how they do it. So I just want to speak in favor of that. We've got a budget surplus. I don't believe we need to be spending money, but I certainly would not want to have one of our elected officials have to quit their job so they could find a job where they could get health care insurance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadger. That was the last card I have on this round of public comment. So we will move to new business.